Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Tony Wasilowski, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Tony, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right. Well, this is the first episode of this podcast in 2021, and 2021, believe it or not, marks 30 years since 1991, the year the Soviet Union ceased to exist. Now, that didn't happen until December, when the Commonwealth of Independent States was created, and Mikhail Gorbachev resigned as the first and last president of a country that was no more. These developments came after, of course, the failed hardline coup in August that hastened things along. But the Soviet collapse had deep roots and was certainly gathering speed at the start of the year, even if few people were predicting it even then. And a very big development came in January 1991 when Lithuania's push for independence ran up against Moscow's desire to keep the Baltic states in the Soviet Union. In fact, they were not recognized as Soviet republics by the West, as they'd been forcibly annexed by Moscow in 1940. Now, Lithuania had declared independence in March 1990, and tensions were growing through the year and as 1991 began. Tony, tell us briefly, if possible, what happened in the events that came to a head in Vilnius on January 13th, 1991.
Okay, yeah. So as you mentioned, Lithuania had declared independence from the Soviet Union in March 1990. It was the first Soviet republic to do so at the time. So Mikhail Gorbachev, the president of the Soviet Union, opposed this and used economic and political pressure to get the Lithuanians to change their mind. Things culminated less than a year later when Soviet troops still garrisoned north of Vilnius on January 11th, 1991, began taking control of government buildings in the capital. On the 13th, they tried to seize the TV center, but crowds had gathered there to block them. There were reports of tanks plowing through the crowd and soldiers firing on the unarmed protesters. In total, 14 people died during those events in Vilnius, all but one at the TV center standoff, and some 700 were wounded. It was the bloodiest military attack on peaceful citizens since Soviet troops killed demonstrators in Tbilisi, Georgia in 1989.
Okay, so that was kind of the momentous events that occurred in January. I guess they're called the January events in Lithuania. I actually, incidentally, was in Vilnius several years later when U.S. President George W. Bush was there as the country was joining NATO. There were pretty strong memories of that time. Now let's kind of move ahead 30 years again to the present. Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia have now long been EU and NATO members, and ties with Russia remain tense. Part of that is continued disputes about the World War II era, anger or mistrust that lingers as a result of the secret annex of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact that set the stage for Hitler and Stalin to carve up parts of the region, including the Baltics. And, of course, bitterness about the decades of Soviet rule that followed after Nazi Germany's defeat in the war, as well as Russia's efforts to push its narrative of the run-up to the war and the conflict and its aftermath. Tony, what would you say is the Kremlin's attitude to Lithuania these days? What's shaping Russian-Lithuanian ties or the lack thereof?
Sure. So I think we have to look it through the prism that Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia are, as you mentioned, are members of NATO and the EU. These are the only former Soviet republics that are fully integrated into these Euro-Atlantic institutions. And, of course, this angers the Kremlin, and so they are always the attention of the target for the Kremlin, including disinformation campaigns. As you mentioned, with Putin, he's very keen to glorify most of the Soviet past, especially events related to World War II and its consequences. So regarding the Baltics, Putin has reverted to the old Soviet propaganda narrative that the incorporation of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia into the USSR was voluntary and by no means an illegal forced annexation. He actually made this case very recently in an article that was attributed to him last June. It was an English article. So Moscow portrays the Lithuanians as Nazi collaborators and the anti-Soviet partisans, the so-called Forest Brothers that fought occupation until the late 1950s, are bandits and murderers of Jews. And today's Baltic states are branded as Russophobic lackeys of NATO.
And so how is that kind of broad approach? I mean, I actually remember Putin, I feel like his attitude or his public statements have changed somewhat, because I feel like in the past, sometimes in the, you know, earlier in his terms, he was more, you know, he made some statements that were kind of acknowledging the, you know, the fact that many people in Eastern Europe and including in the Baltics, you know, do see the post-war years as, you know, as something that was bad, and they're resentful. And I feel like from what I've read, you know, he's kind of changed his tack, or, you know, reverted, as I think you said, to a different view. So how is that kind of broad approach, I guess, to World War II in general, how is that shaping ties and Russia's attitude, or Moscow's attitude, or the Kremlin's attitude to Lithuania now?
Sure. So the January 13th coming up is a very special day for Lithuanians. They're commemorated as Freedom and Defenders Day to commemorate the events from 1991. For the Kremlin, this is an opportunity to really try to distort that record. I was speaking to Peter Stano, who's a lead spokesman for foreign affairs and security policy of the European Commission, which has done a lot of monitoring of Russian disinformation campaigns. So, for example, on the events in 1991, the Kremlin tries to spin it that, you know, it's unclear what really happened, that maybe it was the Lithuanians that killed the other Lithuanians, that maybe there were no casualties. And as Stanio stressed, the point is to sow confusion so that no one is sure anymore which facts are to be believed and which facts not.
That sounds, you know, quite a lot like what people say Russia is doing in terms of MH17 and the Donbass in general, and Skripal poisoning, other things like that, kind of clouding the information space, I guess, with, you know, so that you don't know what to think.
Exactly. And so the Russians, for example, there was just in March 2019, a Lithuanian court, after a three-year trial, found 67 former Soviet officials and army officers guilty of war crimes related to events of 1991. Mm-hmm. The highest ranking was former Soviet Defense Minister Dmitry Yazov, who was still alive at that time. All were sentenced to 10 years. None were in the court. One was at the court, but Russia refused all calls to cooperate, and even Mikhail Gorbachev declined to testify. Russia called the court basically biased and politically motivated, and even moved to prosecute the judges involved in the ruling, which the European Parliament in November 2019 condemned as an unacceptable external influence and politically motivated. I also spoke to Sergei Radchenko, a Cold War historian at Cardiff University in Wales, who told me Putin theoretically could make a different case. As you mentioned, you know, Boris Yeltsin, who was president of the Russian Federation at the time of these events, had actually condemned the Soviet crackdown in Lithuania. Mm-hmm. And he eventually recognized the independence of Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia in September of that year. So, you know, Radchenko says, you know, Putin could say, you know, Russia wasn't to blame in this case, but it was the Soviet Union, and that Russia actually aided the Baltic efforts to regain independence. And he could claim a higher moral ground. But Putin has kind of trapped himself by deciding to glorify nearly all the Soviet Union past. And to go against that now, he would be seen, according to Radchenko, as, quote, giving in to the enemy's narrative.
Right. That's fascinating. I was unaware of most of those details. I mean, as you say, I think it sounds like, you know, that would be like tactically, or for Putin, you know, that could work in a way. But, you know, as you say, his kind of it doesn't fit the overall, you know, the broader narrative that, that he's been pursuing, you know, in relation to the war and the other countries, you know, Poland and other countries in Eastern Europe, you know, that he's been pursuing for that for years. So, or and especially recently, so it kind of wouldn't fit into that. And I guess, I mean, that sort of presages not much chance for improvement of relations with the Baltics in the near future. I know there's talk about kind of, you know, pragmatic, you know, in terms of relations between Russia with many countries, the U.S. included, you know, the idea of trying to put the past behind, you know, recent and more distant past and focus on things that can be, that can work and ways they can work together. But I mean, I guess with Lithuania and the Baltics, there's a particularly longstanding historical, you know, disputes and resentment and anger that's going to get in the way of any attempt to do that.
It definitely seems that way. And especially all these Baltic countries all have pretty significant ethnic Russian minorities. And the Russian, the Kremlin is keen to kind of to sow that discord amongst them. They, as Stanley was saying, that's the more or less the targeted audience of a lot of this this propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's not a great or not a very upbeat way to start the year, but it is the 30th anniversary of the Soviet collapse, and the January events in Lithuania were a very big part of that. All right, we're running out of time, and we're going to have to wrap it up for today. Tony, thanks very much for joining me.
It was a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia, and please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.